God gave me many concepts to live by over the 40 plus years since I've been a Christian. If you do these things, you will definitely have a more abundant and godly life on this earth. And it will carry over to the next life, which is all eternity. The first concept I'm going to talk about today is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. A very important instruction for the body of Christ. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind to the word given you by God. God shows us the way of life through the Holy Bible. As we take individual scriptures and do those verses of scripture in our life, we begin to move into godliness. And those scriptures become a part of us. It's the living word living in us. And we are separated from going in the way of the world on that subject. For example, here is a really startling concept of the world, which I chose not to go in the way of because of something God told me. The world takes out mortgages in order to have housing, and they build up equity as they pay their payments each month. It would seem terribly foolish not to do that. But God told me, get out of debt and stay out of debt. And when it came to buying housing, I wouldn't take out a mortgage because of the word I heard from God. There is a scripture on that. Matter of fact, there's more than one scripture. But that impressed me so strongly that that was the right way for me to go, that I would not take out a mortgage. And never did. And yet, I built 4 different houses without taking out a mortgage. The first thing that happens to us when we have been given a word of God is we purpose to do that word. We believe it is the way for us to go based on what God has said to us, and we purpose in our heart to do it. Almost immediately, you'll have opportunities not to do that word. And Satan will come along to try to steal the word from your heart. That's Mark chapter 4, the sower soweth the word, and immediately Satan comes to remove that word and to get you to go another way. So the first thing you have to do when you hear a word, well, of course, you have to believe it. You have to believe it's God speaking to you, because the first thing Satan will do is say, was that really God? Is that really what he said? Is that really what he meant? Because Satan will come to steal that word. That's what he said to Eve. Did God really say that? So you can expect that to happen. But you first have to believe that God is speaking to you. That it's really God speaking that word. nothing wavering, or it'll be stolen from you. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is one of the main things this world covets? Of course, money, praise of men, fame, glory. From the moment you enter elementary school, what are you always doing? Trying to be better than the other person. That's one of the main goals instilled in you throughout your entire school life, is to rise to the top to be better. I used to play duplicate bridge, but I always kind of thought, I just can't see Jesus or Paul sitting here at this table trying to beat all these people. So I finally quit that and left. But all through school days and sports, we're trying to rise to the top, beating the other person, being better than the other person. That's exactly opposite from the way of God. I entered a doctoral program at North Texas University, which is now called University of North Texas. And when I applied for that doctoral program, they let me in the doctoral program to try to earn a doctorate. One of the professors said something to me that I thought, well, isn't that what we're supposed to do? But he was teaching me, or trying to teach me, something that was godly. He said, "You are the most ambitious student I've ever had." I thought that was a good thing. I wasn't born again. Well, that's because all through school, you're taught to be the best, to rise to the top, to outdo other people. So we are born on this earth as a natural man, and we're taught very well as we proceed to try to outdo the other person. Whether it's in school, women often do that by their physical appearance, by their clothing, their ornaments. Men, of course, by their achievements on the football field or the baseball field or whatever they do. And they're praised by humans when they do that. God says, humble yourself in the sight of God and He will lift you up. We learn these things by the Holy Spirit after we are born again. So we have several years of polishing our various achievements of this life. O.J. Simpson died. Where is he today? I always think that when somebody rich or famous dies, I'll think, but where are they today? Often they show Frank Sinatra's picture on the internet, and I think, but where is he today? What is important? Today is the thing important. The day after you die, where are you then? A few days ago, I was reading in Luke, and I've many times read the Bible, but it's been some time since I read this story, and it made such an impression on me that day. We're going to look at it for a minute here. Luke 12. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Luke 16. This is a very shocking bit of scripture that really affected me. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he, the rich man, lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But the rich man said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will be they persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We have the Bible, and if we won't be persuaded, neither would we be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Be quick to believe the Bible. Be quick to believe when God speaks to you and you believe it's God. And don't let that be stolen from you by the devil, who will say, Did God really say that? Did he really talk to you? Did he really show you that? Is that really what he wants you to do? God told me to do something which was very, very difficult. He showed me sin in the big time ministries, radio and television, preachers. And I knew I had to try to get a message to them, warning them of these sins that they were doing in order to be famous. But ministers at that level have a way of keeping you from reaching them with messages. And when I couldn't get a message to them, I was persuaded, I believe, by God to give the message on my own radio broadcast, which at that time were from coast to coast, warning those ministers of what they were doing and to go back to what God showed them at the beginning, because it turned. One of them had turned very strongly to entertaining the congregation with country western style gospel music. He played the piano and sang. And he did it to get more people to come to his meetings. He hired an ad agent for the very purpose of increasing the size of his meetings. He got tired of having 400 people come to a meeting, and he wanted thousands. And they told him, preach less and sing more. Entertain the people with gospel, country, western music. That man was Jimmy Swaggart. I couldn't get a message to Swaggart, warn him about what he was doing. So God said, just speak it on your own radio broadcast, naming him by name. He'll get the message. So I did that. It was shocking what happened. Some of his followers did carry the message to Jimmy Swaggart. The first thing he did is put me off the radio in Dallas and Houston. He owned the two radio stations in Dallas and Houston, and the first thing he did is just immediately pull the plug on my broadcast with no warning whatsoever. He stopped the message. But the message has already been given, so he couldn't stop it. Hate mail poured in from his followers. Many people who had also been listening to me stopped listening to me and turned against me, and contributions decreased dramatically. I was shocked when that happened the first time. I had heard from God. I was following God. I did something that God showed me to do, and received persecution from the people who had been professing to be Christians They fought the word of God and persecuted me. I was so immature. Persecution always comes to the righteous. Persecution comes for the word's sake. When we do something God has told us to do, we will often be persecuted by the churches. For God sends prophets to the churches with messages of correction, and they always kill the prophets. But I learned along the way that this was not unusual. Jesus says, "You think that I come with the word to unite, but I come to divide." The word divides you. It divides daughter from mother, son from father. When you receive a word from God and you share it, we expect people to be excited. But I have frequently found the opposite to happen. They don't want to hear that word that's from God when they're not of God. They say they're the church, but they're not of God is the problem. They don't delight in the word. They delight in the appearance of godliness. But they will persecute you when you carry the word. The word comes to divide. It divides the ones who'll follow God from the ones who pretend to follow God. I presented a podcast recently on this subject of the word bringing division. Now, I speak the word. I try to be diligent to speak every word that I believe that I've heard from God and leave nothing unspoken. But listen to some of these scriptures. Jesus says, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division." Luke 12:51. The word divides. Haven't you ever spoken a word you've heard from God and had someone turn on you? Someone from the church turn on you? Here are some of the scriptures on that subject. "So there was a division among the people because of him," the word. John 7:43. Hebrews 4:12-13. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." When you hear a word from God, it pierces your heart. It brings salvation to some and damnation to others because they hate the word and will not repent. And in the book of Revelation, even with all of the great tribulation and plagues that came upon them, they would not repent. Because by that time it was a judgment. The first time you hear that word and show you you're going the wrong direction, you have a choice of repenting and going the way of God and being saved, or you can become angry and harden your heart and turn against the word. And if you continue to live that way, damnation will be your fate. So the word comes to save you, but it comes to divide you from the righteous when you won't do it. John 10:19, there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings of Jesus. Luke 12:51, suppose ye that I am come to bring peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. Therefore, some of the Pharisees, John 9:16, said, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. For Jesus healed people on the Sabbath day, and they persecuted him for the word's sake. So persecution comes for the word's sake. And often the person who carries the word is offended that they're persecuting him, and they withdraw from the word. During that very difficult time of 1982 through about 1985, when I was carrying judgment messages on radio on my own broadcast, during that difficult time, my own office workers, everyone quit except for one part-time worker. My best friend came to me and said, Joan, is there any way you could be wrong about this? And I said, no. And she left me. I've talked to her by phone 2 times, but she pretends to be friendly. But she's not interested at all in resuming our friendship. Jesus said, if you love son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. A man in Detroit who was one of our church people gave his daughter a word. She immediately left him. And he told me, he said, I gave her the truth and she left. He was shocked. Usually it's shocking when you first go through it. Hold on. God will eventually reward you, straighten it out. But there's no way to go but salvation or damnation. There's nothing in between. I have seen many people saved because I spoke what I heard from the Holy Spirit. And they received the word and repented and changed their way. My own mother was saved that way. She had always loved horoscopes. When I was a child, she would go buy the horoscope magazine, and before I went to school that day, she would often read my daily horoscope to me. I was visiting at her house, and I opened the cabinet door, and there sat 4 Zodiac mugs, which I had given her because it would please her. Children want to please their parents. And I thought she would like that, and she did like it. Then I was born again and went to visit her, and I opened the cabinet. I saw those, and I was shocked. And I remembered I'd given them to her. I took a plastic garbage bag and began putting those 4 mugs in that garbage bag. My mother was sitting there watching me. And when she realized what I was about to do, she said, stop, I want to keep those. You gave those to me. I didn't say a word to her. I just opened the door, took that bag of Zodiac mugs out to the alley, broke the mugs in the dumpster so no one else could use them, and threw them away. When I went back into the house, I heard a scripture, and I knew that I was supposed to read that scripture to her. The scripture is in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Start at verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. After I finished reading that, I just closed the Bible and took it back into the bedroom and set it down and went back where my mother was sitting. And she looked at me and said, "Well, I guess we better not do these things anymore." She was born again. No one would ever think anybody would be born again with Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 12. But she was. See, I didn't know that of myself, but I followed what the Holy Spirit told me to do. When he called that to my mind, that's what I read to her. And the reward was, she was born again. I went back to Dallas where I lived. My uncle wrote to me and said, "Your mother has changed. She has really changed." That's what being born again is. We change when we hear that word. We change. We say, "Oh, I better not do that anymore. I won't be blessed by God if I go against his word." We change when we're born again. God opens our eyes to see, and we change. And instantly we are new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's not that we learn to be a Christian and then are born again. It's we're born again and then we learn to be a Christian. After I was born again, by the word, God spoke a word to me, and I was instantly born again, changed. After I was born again, I wanted to go to church. I wanted to read the Bible. I wanted to know about God. I wanted to be with people of God. I told a Baptist woman one time that my dad had been born again. And she looked skeptical until I said, "Now he wants to go to church." That's what happens to us. Unfortunately, sometimes the churches are corrupt and we can't go there. But we don't really know that at first. Most of us don't know that. We don't expect to see anything bad at church. I certainly didn't. I just wanted to be around the Christians. I wanted to be at church. And that's the way my dad was. He wanted to be at church. He wanted to go to church. He wanted me to visit him and go to church with him after he was born again. And then along the way, the corruption surfaces. And often we see how corrupt the church is that we're trying to go to. And then we don't know what to do. We leave or we try to find another church. God sustains us, though. This is Antichrist in the church in the end time. And that's what we're seeing. I've heard people say, oh, it's just so watered down today. Church is just different today. It's so watered down. Antichrist has moved in and removed certain scriptures, and you never hear them. Such as the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Jesus said that in Matthew 5:32. I've never heard that spoken at a church. They change the doctrines to please the people of the world and get them to think well of them so they will come to the church. That's Antichrist in the church, falling away from Scripture. The church falling away from Scripture is Antichrist in the churches. What we do is what the Holy Bible tells us, especially the New Testament, though there are many promises of God in the Old Testament that are still valid for the New Testament. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to the Word of God, reading the Bible. God shows us the way of life through Scriptures. And this is the true path to godliness, success, and prosperity on this earth. The Scriptures, meditating in the Word of God, leads you to do that which puts you in the correct position in the sight of God. John 14:6, Jesus said, I, the Word, am the way to go. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, the Word. Our God is not Mohammed. It's not Buddha. What's the difference between Mohammed, Buddha, and God the Father of Jesus Christ? Our God created the heavens and the earth. And the way to God is when the truth is spoken to us by the Holy Spirit, we yield to the Holy Spirit and speak His word, and people are born again. And then they want to read the Bible. They want to be with other Christians. They want to go to church. But sadly, the churches often have changed the doctrine. So they are reading the Bible and they come across something that the church is teaching that's not even according to the Bible. Such as the example, the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Though that's not spoken in the church, it's written in the Bible. So when that person who is born again sees the conflict between the Bible and the church he's trying to attend, what does he do? I can tell you what I did. The first church that I went to after I was born again was called Believer's Chapel. It was in Dallas, Texas. The pastors were professors from Dallas Theological Seminary. When I started attending that church, the pastor was teaching that tongues are from the devil. I didn't care. I didn't know what a tongue was. I'd never heard a tongue. I really never heard of a tongue, I don't believe. And it didn't matter to me. But for 1 week, he was teaching, tongues are of the devil. Well, I attended a little prayer group, neighborhood prayer group. And I was so impressed because these women cared about other people. They even prayed for people that they read about in the newspaper who were going through some kind of tragedy. I never thought to do that. One day we met at someone's home, and there were only three or four of us. We were sitting around the kitchen table, and they were praying for people. And then they'd finished praying for one person, and then I heard some kind of low murmuring sound, and then someone would start praying aloud for a person. And then, again, I would hear this low murmuring sound. That was, all of a sudden, it occurred to me, they are praying first in tongues. It scared me to death. I was attending a church that was teaching tongues are of the devil. I thought I was sitting among a bunch of Satan worshipers. I said, I have to go, and I went outside, and one of the women followed me, and she said, now, Joan, don't let this bother you. And I said, oh, no, of course not. And I went on my way. Well, I was horrified by what I'd been doing. Here I have been sitting among people who were praying in tongues. And I was terrified. So I began reading every scripture in the New Testament about tongues because I was going to prove tongues were of the devil. Instead, these scriptures were saying the opposite. And when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, forbid not to speak in tongues, Paul says, in the church. The church I was attending were forbidding people to speak in tongues and teaching they were of the devil. I would say the doctrine of this church was just about between the doctrine of Church of Christ and Baptist. I didn't have to work to decide what I was going to do. I left that church. That was teaching against the Bible. See, here's the whole thing, is the Bible is the key. If the church you attend is teaching against the Bible, or they're leaving some scripture out, like the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery, if they're leaving that scripture out, they're teaching against the Bible, they're antichrist, you have to leave it. This is what I did immediately. And I told my best friend. She and her husband attended that church, and that's the reason I attended it. And I told Donna, I said, Donna, did you know that Paul said forbid not to speak with tongues? We were riding along the highway, and she said, what? And she pulled off the highway. She knew I had a little Bible in my purse. She said, let me see that. And I showed it to her, and she said, he is teaching forbid not to speak with tongues. She said, let's go to my house, and we'll take every translation of the Bible and look this up and see if it says the same thing. It did. She said, well, I'm not going back to that church. And I said, well, I'm not either. I'm not going to go to a church where they teach against the Bible. But we cared about Scripture. The rule book for the New Testament church is the New Testament Bible. And if a church is teaching something opposite to that taught in the New Testament Bible, that church is anti-Christ, opposite to Christ, and it is the end time falling away. We're told about in the Bible, there will be a falling away in the end time from the churches. It's not people leaving the churches. The falling away of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 are churches falling away from Scripture. It simply shows us we are in the end time. And we can expect Jesus to return soon. And what he does when he returns, Jesus will destroy the Antichrist churches and their followers and their preachers. He will destroy them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, start reading at verse 8. For that's what it shows. Let's start at verse 3. Paul says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day of the Lord shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." I was reading that in 1982 when God said to me, the falling away are not people leaving the churches. The falling away are the churches leaving the Scriptures. And that is Antichrist. Antichrist working in the churches. When Jesus returns, he will judge it. Verse 8 says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, the love of the Scriptures, which is truth, that they might be saved." They love their churches. They love their preachers. They love the other people that attend their churches. But the love of the Scriptures is the thing missing. "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So they will be destroyed. It is the Word of God that we follow, the Scriptures that show us what to do. "Therefore, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Renew your mind to the Word of God. Read the Bible. Make a practice of reading the New Testament Bible daily and also read the Old Testament Bible. Renew your mind to the Word of God and the way of God, which is shown us in the Bible by the Holy Spirit, not the letter of the law, by the Holy Spirit revealing to us the way of God and opening our eyes to see the truth of the Holy Scriptures. Thank you for allowing me to speak with you today.